This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Tom Catmull.
If I get another heart, I'm gonna wake up every morning and raise him on chips and kettle corn and surf the web, cause life is short. If I get another heart, we're gonna go out bungee jumping. We'll never hesitate again for humping. A steady flow of awkward sex and pork. I used to drive a truck. It was Japanese, I think, or friggin' rust and busted blinkers were my very favorite parts. Now I got a minivan that's got cardboard in one window, and if it gets stolen, I hope they know it'll need a series of jump starts. If I get another heart, we're gonna go drinking every evening. We're gonna order stiff and neat martinis, the two of us in derbies and wingtips. If I get another heart, there will be no one come between us. A tall and slender thing from Venus, a little turtle dove and if I get another heart, I'm gonna wake up every morning and raise him on chips and kettle corn and surf the web, cause life is short.
This is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Very pleased to welcome back to the show Tom Catmull.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Great to see you again. For anyone who is unfamiliar with Tom, he is a Missoula-based singer-songwriter and has a brand new recording out called Words and Malady. We've had Tom on the show a number of times before, maybe even once per album.
Probably.
Over 15 years or so.
I'm about 95% sure of that,
yeah,
actually.
I think that's probably true. Yeah. I'm trying to remember how many recordings you have now with this new one. What does that make?
I have seven. One of them was a little bit of a cheater collection thing where I didn't actually go into the studio.
That counts.
$20 know-how. That counts?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Sure.
Then I have seven. This is my seventh.
As we are recording this in mid-November 2013, it's kind of an interesting time to have you on the show for a couple of reasons. One, we have this brand new recording out. And as well, and we'll get to this towards the end of the interview, your band performances, group performances are taking quite a turn with a new project called Radio Static. Let's start maybe with Words and Malady. So if someone is to ask you, you know, give just a quick synopsis of what this project is about as compared to the stuff that you've released previously.
Well, let's see. Well, lyrically, I mean, you can tell by the title of it, it's a little darker. I had a bit of a dark period personally with some things that have gone on, and I wrote probably 70% of those songs during that time, actually, and then began recording them. So they've got a bit of a darker hue to them, and it's a nice mix of different instruments sonically, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I was able to record with some of my favorite musicians on this album. Bethany Joyce plays cello. Amy Martin, I asked her to play a trumpet line, and she came in with three for this song, Be Mine. And it sounds like a little mariachi band mm-hmm. in there. It's one of my favorite things on the disc. Caroline Keyes. Of course, Travis Yost was actually doing the engineering and the mixing, and we worked together. We've known each other for years, so that was a completely enjoyable experience. And of course, because since he was right there, and he's like a multi-instrumentalist and a singer, you know, he's dotted all over the thing, and he sounds fantastic. And then John Sporman.
Tom, you mentioned the tune Be Mine, and this is the tune that kicks off the recording. Can we talk a little bit about this tune? Because this is a fascinating tune to me. Not only is it a beautiful tune, just sonically, lyrically, it's very mysterious. And for the longest time, I almost didn't want to know what it was about. And then one time you let it slip what it is about. And I think it's a fascinating topic.
Music is constantly put in the light of a uniter that brings people together. And it does, you know, it's crazy, you know, people come together for music in clubs and in stadiums and in kitchens. And, you know, it's beautiful that way. But there's another side of that coin that I see, and I know that people that I know well see as a divider. And that seems kind of strange, but I think that it can be something that that puts those around you on the outside a little bit. Of what you're doing. And I don't think that music is the only thing in the world that does that. I'm sure there are other jobs that do that as well. Mm-hmm. Truck driving or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it can be a strange occupation and even more than an occupation, just something that possesses you. And so It can cause trouble. It can cause trouble with those around you. Mm-hmm. And
those you love most.
Yeah, yeah,
quote you.
It has no concern.
I love that line. It's a great line.
So it's interesting. The passion that you feel for something can be trouble, you know, as I'm sure many people have felt. And that's a little bit about what that song's all about.
Hand in hand, and that was just the sound of a word or a stick or my thumb against some wood or something. I got nothing planned, and when the room is quiet, it's either one of two religions, joyful noise or a wide open space. The latter pulls you short from a crowded room with your pocketbook and your heart and your mind out of place. Be mine. Be mine, be mine. It started out as innocent, is hearing lovers kiss in darkened taverns while minding your own. But when your ears fill twice, a chance encounters a charming third, and you'll someday find it stained to your bones. It is particular about company, and it sparks the flame of jealousy in those you hold close. And it has no fear of poverty, the bottle or solace. You see, you are what it needs most. Be mine, be mine, be mine, be
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Tom Catmull. I'll let listeners know that I posted on Facebook that I was going to interview Tom, and it prompted close to 40 comments and posts in a matter of about 12 hours. And I'd like to touch on some of those, even though some of them were more of a comedic nature. Questions about your facial hair, your goatee, Travis's hairstyle came up in the post.
Stylish lot.
But just for fun, I think it's pretty safe to say this is the first time I've asked a guest this question. Your favorite monkey?
Oh, I'm going to go with Michael Nesmith. I think
that's right. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I think you seem to be the heart and soul of the operation. You know, there's a lot going on with that band, but I think that it couldn't have happened without him. Okay,
would there be many guys that would go with Davy Jones?
I think some would, and I would be proud of the ones who did.
Yeah, quite frankly. Yeah.
But they'd be wrong. They'd be wrong. Still, I would be proud of them.
And for those of us, or for those listeners who are below a certain age, the Monkees were a group. It was kind of put together sort of emulate the Beatles back in that. Okay, it's a long story.
I was going to name a monkey from some zoo somewhere. Oh, I think Coco would probably be my favorite then.
Well, several of the questions that came from that post were really good, and a lot of them had to do with the songwriting process, and you know, songwriters and musicians get to hear this a lot. But just some different angles that I thought I'd try to take with this, how you see the world as a songwriter.
Wow. Interesting. You're asking me how I see the world?
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt that your brain has different parts of it that need to be exercised if you're going to try and excel at something. And for songwriting, fortunately, it's imagination, which is fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have a strong imagination. You want to remain almost as kid-like as possible. The practice of seeing the world in a slightly comic light. Good friends of mine do the same thing, but you'll imagine a scenario that is kicked off by something that's actually happening, and then that turns into this scenario that you verbally imagine, and it's a game that good friends of mine play all the time. And if we're together all day, say we're musicians. Mm-hmm. Driving to wherever, then this will go on easily a dozen, 15, 20 times a day. Somebody will say something, and then you create this other situation that is sometimes funny or sometimes not so funny. I think that working out that muscle in your head is something that that I do almost reflexively, and it helps me when I put pencil to paper to make sure that the vision that you see of the world and what you're going to write down can go in one of a numberless directions.
There was something that we didn't know. Up inside your head was only the start of a hole that let you bleed from the heart. So common of a melody. Little crack inside that won't even show. We've been taking on water and sailing low. We can be distraught or be gone. So common of a melody. I wanna be on the other side. So common of a melody. I wanna be on the other side. It was a day or two, or was it a year? We put the horse's head inside of our cart and pushed it forward till it all fell apart. A yawner of a tragedy. I bore myself to tears just finding a rhyme for the gut spill of a pretty hard time and the golden fleece of love in the dark. A yawner of a tragedy. I wanna be on the other side, some common of a melody. I wanna be on the other side, some common of a melody. I wanna be on the other side, some common of a melody. I wanna be on the other side.
Well, this was an interesting question. What truly inspires you to get up every day and do what you have to do to survive in the local music scene, or call that the statewide music scene, because obviously you play all over the state. And part of the question was also being able to balance that with being a father.
This might be kind of the boring half of the answer for my part, but somebody described being a musician to me as getting up every day and looking for work, you know, which is hilarious. But it's partially true. You know, you wake up and you're like, okay, and you look at your calendar, mm-hmm. you know, and if you're making a living in live performance, you know, then you need to fill up that calendar. And that's a pretty simple task, you know, mm-hmm. But it can be pretty taxing and troubling to do. But you know, there's inspiration there in terms of just like, I need to play. Yeah. I need to play, and I need to play with a band and solo or with a duo or wherever. So just looking for work and staying alive, you know. So that's the boring answer. That said, I should say, I think that being a musician is also incredibly special in that not a lot of people get to do it. And especially in Montana, there's not that many people here who go around and play a lot as much as I do and you do. And I don't take that for granted at any point. I know that there are other things that I can be doing. And I know a lot of people who have jobs that aren't fulfilling for them, but they do it because they want to live, you know, and it fills a need when they're not working, you know, and it pays bills and they've got things in the future that are going to make them happy, and I have a job that makes me happy, and I think that is, it sounds really Pollyanna, but it is rare, and so knowing that and being aware of that is very inspiring to find work and to keep pay heed to what it is that makes this job work for me and for the people who hire me. Mm-hmm. I'm writing new songs. I am keeping the show kind of fresh. People have seen me in Missoula and in Montana. You know, many people have seen me hundreds of times, and I don't take that for granted. I want that to be a different experience when they come every time. Mm-hmm. When I see musicians who are close to me who come to a show, I immediately want to play something brand new because they have seen everything, you know, that kind of thing. So that's inspiring to me and keeps me moving forward. And, you know, in terms of balancing that with having children, my boys are getting older, and as they get older, it works even better than it used to. It was pretty tough when they were young as parenthood is in general. But parenthood is made even tougher when somebody's on the road, you know. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they have a mother who took care of them and continues today to do so. Mm-hmm. It's a balance, but I think parenthood in general and working is a balance. Mm-hmm. It might be made a little bit trickier by music, you know, but in some ways it's made easier. Like, I have flexibility during the day that allows me to get them to school and from school, and if they're sick, I am there. And I work on my own hours during the week, so I can work with them, you know, there. I'm not as good at working with them as I am working without them, but I have a flexibility because it's playing music is your own little business. So in many ways, it is made easier. Wasn't for the clear sky or the deep sea or the wild yonder, I wouldn't be feeling so alone. My life is your rainbow of all the colors, save the one from a box of Crayola, divorce of the green and a yellow tone. Say the word, say to me, how you build like a tree. Say the word, and is it true? Could you be blue?
Yeah, I ought to write a lonesome song for the way I felt when you stood up and left me, the way that the Jeeps have used to do. They stole it from a continent where the news of the hurt and the world still arrest me, a word for the horrible beauty true. Say the word, say to me, are you blue like a tree? Say the word, and is it true? Could you be blue? La-di-da-di-da-da, la-di-da-di-da-da, la-di-da-di-da-da. La di da di na na, la di da di na na, la di da di na na. If it wasn't for the clear sky or the deep sea or the wild yonder, I wouldn't be feeling so alone. My life is a rainbow of all of the colors, save the one from a box of gray wool. Divorce of the green and a yellow tone.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with singer-songwriter Tom Catmull. So we come to the place where we're going to talk a little bit about how the group experience, which for over a decade was Tom Catmull and the Clerics,
right,
one of the most popular groups without question all over the state, and most beloved too, really, really the affection that people have for not only your music, but that particular combination, you with Gibson Hartwell, Travis Yost, and John Sporman. That's changed, and now we're moving to a trio situation with your music, with Gibson moving on to some other projects, and still working with John and Travis. So let's talk about Radio Static just real quickly, because we're not going to have anything to listen to. This is so fresh.
Yeah. Well, I want to mention something really first, that on the solo album that I just released is Gibson Hartwell.
Right, singing, yes. It was playing. not a bad party.
No, not at all. Not at all. And he plays five-string tenor on there and sings, and it's fantastic. Love that guy. So now we're a trio. Mm-hmm. When we found ourselves looking at the three of us, looking at each other and deciding what we were going to do, one thing that was not even said was that we were going to continue to play the same music that we have always played. The Cleric show was always evolving, and we're always adding songs, but it was definitely in a certain vein, that kind of an Americana, you know, slay the country tinged vein, you know, with shuffle songwriter stuff. But we decided, since there was this door closing and a door opening at the same time, that we should go through the one that was open.
As simple as it sounds.
No,
I think,
it's
to some
not.
People.
It's really not, you know. But we decided it was a good opportunity for us to change up what we were doing. So it was a big challenge for me. John and Travis, they changed the way that they play and we approach songs a different way. And I'm writing specifically for this trio. The songs are different than ones that you might be comfortable with before, you know? So they're a little more rock oriented. We've made it a little more wide open what we're doing. That is both exciting and slightly shaky, because it's new. And I knew that the process of that is going to please some people and it will not please others. And I am a guy, if you know me at all, you know that I am a pleaser. I am a pleaser. I like to please people. To veer from something that was solid and successful and tight is kind of a scary thing to do. But I'm so glad that we're doing it. And we also knew that there was going to be no other way to continue. You don't want to sound the same. You can't do it. I mean, even before it goes really sour, like outside the band, like hearing it and stuff, you can feel something feeding inside where you're like, okay, we have to pay attention to that. That's like it's like a little virus. Like your band has caught a little cold. You're like, all right, we have to pay attention to that, you know, because if you don't pay attention to that, then things go south. So we've moved in a different direction, and it's exciting. So far, it's been pretty well received, and I'm excited about that.
I brought my car door open with a Phillips head, put another scratch in the thing I know. And there's a man with a white beard barking out to let it snow. I got a mailbox spitting out heat bills, my girl's a chihuahua when the cold wind blows. It ain't no tall tale to talk about the weather when it's 10 below. If that were my kid, we'll let her wrap to his skin and bones from head to toe. But that ain't my kid. And his poor mother's time is spent fighting off the crows. Four young girls walking to a party, sneaking out late so the rents don't know, kicking up heels while laughing at the world below. Another young man drinking at a party, his friends give him hell cause they all know that lightweight Billy's got a car but he'll probably never make it home. If that were my kid, if that were my kid, I'd have, well, I just don't know. But that ain't my kid. And now four mothers cry for fighting off the crows.
TomCatmull.com is the name of the website. Words and Malady, the name of the just released Tom Catmull solo project, and we want to encourage folks to keep their eyes out for Radio Static as well. Some cool stuff coming down the road. In addition to that, I know you're going to be on the Montana PBS program 11th and Grand in January, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So at least on the initial airing of this program, that will be enough time for folks to get that on their radar. Thanks so much for coming by and talking shop with us again, Tom. And
thanks for having me.
I'm sure we'll chat again down the road.
I hope so. Thank you for having me. This is a fantastic show.
Well, that old morning sun is rising a little lower every time. Cottonwoods unveiling houses and street signs. And if my bones could talk, I would.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Tom Catmull. If you'd like to contact us, you can write us an email through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as from iTunes. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.